Thank you, Adam. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Let's seek God's face. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight, and in through that precious and all-worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we thank thee tonight for the glorious gospel of saving grace. We thank the Lord tonight for the Son of God who loved us, gave himself for us. And Lord, we pray that tonight in this meeting, you come, Lord, and give a very particular help. Lord, that you'll speak tonight. Lord, speak far beyond the voice of any man. And Lord, may thy voice be heard. Be with us, we pray. Give us help tonight, we pray. Lord, in everything, may thy name be honored and glorified. Answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. 286. The words will be on your screen. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. We'll keep our seats as we sing this opening hymn, please. Singing well. Let's just have another wee word of prayer. We commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight for the wonder-working, sin-destroying power that there is in the blood of the Lamb. We thank the Lord tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lamb that was slain there on the cross of Calvary, the one who took our sin, the one who has made sin for us. Lord, we thank Thee tonight that through Christ there is hope. We thank Thee, Lord, that tonight through Christ there is forgiveness of sins. And Heavenly Father, we rejoice this evening that in Christ and in Christ alone, all of our hope is found. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for those that are saved in this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for those that are ready, for those, Lord, who know Thee as their own and personal Savior. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even this night, Lord, that as we would listen, Lord, to the messages and song, and Lord, as we would hear the word of testimony, Lord, may our hearts be thrilled once again, Lord, of what the Lord has done. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night, most especially, Lord, You'll speak to those still out of Christ, Lord, far from Thee. Lord, we pray that this will be the night when they will come, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank Thee tonight that we have a message. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight that our souls rejoice in what You've done for us. We thank Thee, Lord, that we do not come here with our own thoughts or with our own ideas, but, Lord, we come with the glorious gospel of saving grace. And so, Lord, to this end, bless Thy word tonight, we pray. Lord, give help in every part, in every aspect of this meeting tonight. We pray, Lord, for our sister Joy. Help her, Lord, as she administered to us in song. We thank the Lord for her. And Lord, we pray that You'll encourage her. And may she know great help this evening, Lord, as she would sing to us. Lord, we pray that You'll be with her. And Lord, help her, we pray. We pray for our brother John as we'd come and tell us of what the Lord has done in his life, the good things, Lord, that You're doing for him. And Lord, we pray that this night that he might know help from heaven, help in a way he's never known or experienced before. And Lord, that this night You would stand with him. Lord, fill him with the Holy Ghost and fill him with power. And Lord, that this night the power of God, the Holy Spirit, would rest upon this meeting. Lord, we look to Thee. We pray, Lord, You'll save the lost tonight, we pray, for those still in their sin. Lord, bring them to Thyself. Lord, make this place that rescue shop within a yard of hell. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, come and visit us, Lord, with salvation. Lord, we pray for this community. We pray, Lord, for this area. Lord, awaken East Belfast. Lord, awaken Ballyhackamore especially to its need of Christ. Lord, so many tonight are seeking, Lord, to satisfy their physical desire, and yet they have no thought about their eternal, never-dying soul and where they will be in God's eternity. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll stop men and women, young people, Lord, in their tracks. May they realize that there is a God in heaven with whom one day they'll have to do. And our Father, we pray that this night they would turn to Christ, run to Thee for mercy and for salvation. Lord, we thank Thee for Your goodness that finds us in the house of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for mercy seen today. Lord, for mercies unseen today. And Lord, for bringing us to this another night of gospel opportunity. Bless over this weekend, we pray, Lord, for the meeting last night. Lord, for those that were gathered in out of Christ. Speak on, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight You'd be pleased to come and visit us with salvation. We pray for the Lord's Day. We pray for the Sunday meetings. Lord, bless Thy servant as we'd come in Thy will. And Lord, that as we close off this gospel weekend, may we have great cause to rejoice in what the Lord is doing. So come, do great things for us, we pray. Answer prayer and be with us. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. This evening we are delighted to welcome back to Sandown our sister Joy. It's always a pleasure to have you, Joy, and we welcome you warmly. And David as well, welcome you both back to Sandown. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us just now. The Lord bless you, Joy.
Well, it's lovely to be back again. It's lovely to come and just to share in the gospel this evening. And thank you so much for your kind words of welcome. And lovely to see so many gathered in. And, you know, it's just after the time that we've all had, it's really great just to come and to hear the gospel preached and to hear testimony and just to fellowship again with John. You will thoroughly enjoy his testimony. And this first old hymn is really a testimony piece. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I find such perfect rest, where he cancelled all my transgressions and my soul was truly blessed. And John will tell you about his testimony and he'll be saying, let me tell the old, old story. Giving God the glory, and you too can have that testimony tonight. Join in with me, feel free, and you may be a bit more muffled tonight, but behind the mask, but nevertheless, rejoice in the Lord and what he has done and what he can do for sinners. The healer of sin-sick souls, and each and every one of us are born with a disease of sin. As the Bible says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we come short of the glory of God, there needed to be that price paid, and he paid the price. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. There on the cross, he bore the payment, the penalty for our sin, that we could be saved, that we could be washed whiter than snow. Listen to the words of this lovely piece, The Healer.
Crucified in great sorrow, he died, the giver of life is he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected of men, this Jesus of wounded for our trials. price for healing was paid, as those cruel stripes were laid within Pilate's judgment hall. Now his suffering affords perfect healing for all. This wonderful healer's mark. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore all our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. He has healed my sick soul, made me every whit whole, and he'll do the same.
Thank you very much indeed, Joy, for those messages and song. We'll let her catch her breath for just a moment, and then she'll come back and sing another one or two for us. But praise God, tonight in the midst of a sin-sick world, in the midst of a very sad world, there is a healer, and his name is Jesus. And tonight, if you don't know him, it's our prayer that you would know him, that you would turn to him tonight. He's your only Savior. He's your only hope. And what Joy has been singing about, you can sing about for real, and you can know Christ as your Savior. Thank you, Joy. Always blessed through your ministry. Let me welcome you all tonight to our Friday night of this weekend of gospel meetings. We're glad to see you. We want to thank you all for coming again, so many in the house of God. And for those who are watching online as well, we welcome you tonight through our various media channels. Thank you for being a part of our congregation. But to those who are here tonight, we welcome you. To those who are visiting, we want you to know you're very, very welcome, and we trust you feel at home with us. Now, we can't shake hands in these strange times that we're living in, but you can maybe turn around and just wave to somebody that you haven't seen before. You maybe don't know who they are. You can just wave to them and say hello to them. So glad to have you all tonight. And thank you for being with us. It's always a problem doing that in Sandown, because it's getting them to stop is the problem. But nonetheless, it's always good to be happy in the Lord. But good to see you tonight, and we welcome you all in the Saviour's name. Now, we want you to remember that the meetings continue on Sunday. The Gospel Weekend continues and concludes this coming Sunday. So we want you to come back Sunday morning at 11:30 and Sunday evening at 6:30. The Reverend William McCrae will be here both services on Sunday to sing and to preach. We're looking forward to having him back with us. And we want you to come. And we want you to come yourself, but also seek to bring someone else along with you as well. Maybe you have invited someone, they haven't come as yet. Well, don't be put off. Go back and invite them again. And bring them for the final meetings on Sunday. 11:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the evening, and we would be glad to have you. You'd be very, very welcome to those final meetings of the Gospel Mission. Thank you for all your support over the weekend thus far. Thank you to all those who helped over last weekend, getting all the invitations out. There were 10,000 that were distributed. That was no mean task for a little congregation such as we are. And you rose to the challenge this night last week. There were 30 of you over, there were 30 of you out around the streets of East Belfast distributing the tracts. The Lord will bless you for that labour of love, and thank you in the Saviour's name. So let's look to the Lord for the meeting tonight and also for the meetings on Sunday. We give a special welcome to our dear brother John Weir, this evening. We're glad to have him tonight. We were to have him a few times last year, but of course that C word happened and we weren't able to have him, and the old pandemic came and we had to put off the meetings, but we're glad that we had him booked for tonight. We're glad he's here tonight. John, you're very, very welcome. He was out around the streets of Ballyhackamore earlier this afternoon, trying to get people in, speaking to people on the streets, and we are thrilled to see his encouragement and brightness for the Lord, and we've really been looking forward to having him tonight, and look forward to what he'll have to say of how the Lord has blessed him and used him. So, John, you're very, very welcome. Look forward to hearing from you in just a wee moment. Joy, we'll ask you, if you wouldn't mind, coming back and singing for us again. Thank you.
Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. Torment me.
Praise God tonight for that place called Calvary. Had it not been for that place, then forever my soul would be lost. Where would we be tonight if it were not for the place called Calvary? Thank you, Joy. The Lord bless you. And thank you for being with us this evening and for being part of this gospel weekend. As we've said, we are delighted to welcome our brother John Weir. This is one busy man. He was telling me beforehand that he has, over this past year, had 130 drive-in missions. And that's some feat. The Lord bless you, John, for that. And what a privilege it is for us to have him tonight. Thank him for giving of his time out of his busy schedule to come and to share with us his testimony. And we pray, Lord, as he comes now, that you would listen and that you would be challenged. If you don't know John's Saviour tonight, it's our prayer before you leave that you would come to know Saviour, that John will come and tell us now about. John, the Lord bless you, and the Lord be with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good evening, everybody. It's lovely to be with you tonight, and I do want to thank the Reverend Wilson for the invite just to come and to share my testimony. It's great to have a testimony, isn't it? Just what the Lord has done in your life and what a privilege it is to serve him. And I feel a wee bit like Daniel in the Land's Den. I'm from the Donegal Road and I'm in the heart of East Belfast. So I hope you smile at me tonight. And I remember, it's nice to see Joy again. I remember when it was down, Joy's part of the world taking a gospel mission a few years ago. There was a wee fella, he was only about 7 or 8 years of age, about the same height as myself. And he was telling me all about his tractors in Ballyfore Mission Hall. And I happened to say to him, well, what type of tractors do we have in the Donegal Road in Belfast? And as sharp as a razor, he said, stolen ones. So that's where I'm from. But I have to be on my best behaviour, being on the Sandown Road. But it's really lovely to be with you just to share my testimony. And we did have a good day out there on the streets trying to get people in. It's lovely to see so many in tonight. And if you're here for the first time, you're very, very welcome. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please? And let's have no distractions if possible as we turn to the Word of God. It's 130 meetings, not missions. I think if it was to do 130 missions, I definitely wouldn't be able to stand on the pulpit. But 130 meetings. We've thanked the Lord this past year for the opportunities for all the drive-in services around the province. And it's been wonderful. The Lord has been moving and saving precious souls. And we give him all the glory for that. And we pray tonight that maybe somebody here, this will be your night, when you fall in love with my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. His presence can be felt. That was lovely, Joy. Your ministry, it's truly blessed us. Let's turn to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading the verse number 14. You ask the Lord to speak to your heart. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray, you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father, we pray now as we share a personal word of testimony, bring in the gospel message, Lord, you would settle our hearts. Lord, take away all distractions. Lord, I pray and ask for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, that, O God, tonight that you might come and give me power. Lord, give me liberty and anoint me. Thank you for Sister Joy and thank you for her ministry. Lord, pray that you would continue to bless her and use her mightily. Lord, save souls tonight. Lord, restore backsliders. Revive your own dear people. But above all, may your lovely name be glorified. In your lovely name we pray. Amen. Friends, it's verse 17 I want to leave with you tonight as I share a personal word of testimony. Look at verse 17 again. Paul states, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You see, when a man accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he gets a new life. He gets a new longing. Everything is completely new. When a man gets saved, he gets a new father. He gets a new family. He also gets new friends. You see, his company has changed, and his character is changed. When a man is truly converted, he has a love for God. He has a love for the Bible, a love for the prayer meetings, and even a love for his enemies. His temper, his tongue, his temptations are changed. He's a new creation. The old life has gone. It's what the Bible calls being born again. And I can honestly say tonight that being born again of the Spirit of God is the greatest thing in the world. And I trust tonight that every man, every woman, every young person in this church is truly born again of the Spirit of God. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, as you know, I live in the Donegal Road. I was brought up right beside Windsor Park. And from a young age, my life was very much dominated by football. As a young lad, I joined St. Andrew's Boys Club, who were the top youth football team in Northern Ireland during the 1990s. So if you played for St. Andrew's Boys Club, you had a good chance of getting scouted to go to England and go to Scotland. And at 15, 16, I was going to many different clubs. And at 16, I was just about to sign for Chelsea. Chelsea had a wonderful player called Gianfranco Zola. I don't know if any of you remember him. He was an Italian. He was small. I'm small. And he was my boyhood idol. And at 16, I was just about to sign for Chelsea. And then disaster struck. I hurt my knee and I had to come home from London. And it was absolutely gutted, as you can imagine. But I recovered from that particular injury and went on to join Linfield. And I was the captain of the Northern Ireland Youth International team at this stage. And I was just breaking into the Linfield first team at 19. And then disaster struck again. I hurt my knee in a real bad way. And I had to stop playing football completely at 19 years of age. I felt as if just my whole world had just fell apart. My life was a mess at this time. And my friends, Stephen Davis, who many of you will know, and Chris Brunt, they were playing in the Premiership in England, earning thousands of pounds. And here's me at 19, unable to do the thing that I dreamed and the thing that I loved and the thing that I always wanted to be, a professional footballer. But you know, looking back now, I can see that God had a completely different plan for my life. God had a completely different plan for my life, and yet I didn't see it at that time. And listen to Jeremiah 1 and 5. God tells the prophet, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, whoever you may be, that God has a plan for your life. And it's only when you fall in love with Jesus Christ do you know what that plan is. You see, I was chasing after the things of this world and had no thought about my soul. Is that you tonight? Wanting to be rich, wanting to be famous, wanting to make it in the world's eyes, but never once stopped to think about my soul. And as I travel the country now sharing the gospel, I meet so many individuals and they're selling their soul for the drink. Maybe that's you. They're selling their soul for the drugs, the ungodly friends, the immoral lifestyle, the partying scene, even what their friends will think of them. But the Bible reminds us there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I was just thinking this morning, you know, hell is going to be full of people that knew the gospel, especially in Northern Ireland. I was just saying to the minister, how many churches are there in East Belfast? How many churches are there in the Donegal Road? Churches everywhere. Mission halls everywhere, but so many have no interest. And hell is going to be worst of all for those that were brought up in Christian homes. Did you know that? Who said in church week after week after week that they heard the gospel. And it's amazing to think in some parts of the world they haven't even heard the gospel once. And maybe there's somebody in here tonight and you come to this church week after week after week and you hear God's servant preach his heart out, but yet you're still not saved. Hell is going to be worst of all for somebody like that. But this can be your night. Hell is going to be full of people that sat in gospel meetings, who went to gospel missions, who heard some of the greatest preachers ever. Especially in Northern Ireland, we have had the cream of gospel preachers, haven't we? The cream. But yet so many are still not saved. No wonder the Bible tells us, Jeremiah 8:20, that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Friends, tonight I'm so thankful I'm here giving a word of testimony that on my way to hell, living an ungodly life. Do you know, I don't know where I would be tonight if the Lord hadn't saved my soul. I could be in some bar. I could be in some den of iniquity. Do you know, I could even be in hell itself. But it's only by the grace of God that I'm standing here. And sadly, growing up in the Donegal Road, I had no Christian influence whatsoever. My parents were good people, but they more or less let us make our own decisions. Sadly, before I became a Christian, it was never hardly in a gospel meeting. I was hardly ever in a church, never in Sunday school, didn't even own a Bible. I couldn't even have told you, sadly, one Bible verse. But you see, deep down in my heart, I still believed in God. When I looked at the stars and the trees and the birds and the wonders of creation, I knew there had to be a God. I knew I just wasn't an accident. And when my football career ended and there was things going on within my family, my life had a real mess. And I remember at 19 years of age, getting onto my knees in my bedroom and crying out to God from the depths of my heart, saying, God, will you help me? Will you help my family? I need my life changed. And E.M. Barnes is a great author in prayer. Do you know what he said? There's prayers, but then there's desperate prayers. At 19 years of age in my bedroom, that was me. I was desperate for my life to be changed. And I remember as I cried out to God in that bedroom, I remember a presence coming upon me in that room, and I knew that everything was going to be okay. And E.M. Barnes was a great author in prayer, and maybe some of you have his books. You know what he said? He says there are prayers, but then there's desperate prayers. You ever been there in your own life? And maybe there's even somebody in the church tonight. Or maybe there's somebody listening online, and you're desperate for your life to be changed. Well, that was me. And again, we're told in Jeremiah 29:13, God states, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. You see, if you're desperate for the Lord tonight, he can save your soul. We're not interested in false professions. Northern Ireland is full of empty, false professions. But if you're truly hungry for the Lord, he can change your life this very night. He's promised us where the two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, I will be in the midst, and he's among us. And he has brought you here by divine appointment. You're not here by accident. And that same night, I cried out to the Lord in my bedroom. I knew I had to go to church. And I'd never been in a gospel service before, but the way the Lord had planned it, my mother was working with a lovely Christian lady called Peggy Reardon in the Belfast City Hospital. And Peggy Reardon said to my mother, she says, June, I'm praying for your family. That wee lady planted a seed. And can I encourage the Christian people here tonight, keep planting seeds. Keep witnessing to people in your workplace. Young people in your school or your college or university, keep planting seeds. Keep witnessing to people. And that wee lady planted a seed. And you see, that same night, I knew I had to go to Peggy's church. I remember getting directions off the internet. I didn't know where I was going, but I just knew I had to go. and I heard the gospel for the first time. And I heard the verses preached that our sister sang tonight. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Picture the Savior in the middle cross. Can you see him? Look at him. Down there just for you. For your sin. For your shame. For your skeletons in the cupboard. For your broken life. And I realized that night, Jesus died for me. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. As I heard the message of the cross, I realized Jesus died for a wretch like me. To give me a brand new life, and that's what I needed. And I needed my sins forgiven, and I wanted to go to heaven when I died. And I realized that night, Jesus Christ loved me. And friends, this is the wonder of the gospel, isn't it? That Jesus Christ loves sinners. And I remember singing a hymn that night in the meeting. I love the old gospel hymns. And Philip Bliss is a wonderful hymn writer. And he penned, "Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners." That was me. Is that you? I was a ruined sinner to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. He saved mine with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That night, do you know what I experienced? Conviction of sin. You ever experienced that? I trust even tonight you will experience conviction of sin. And I didn't understand everything. It was the first time I'd ever heard this message preached. But I knew that night I needed to be saved and forgiven. And I stayed behind and got on my knees and I cried for mercy. And I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart and into my life to save my precious soul. And he has changed my life in a wonderful way. And I'm not ashamed to tell this congregation that I love him with all of my heart. Friend, look at me tonight. Do you love him? Up in that gallery, do you love Jesus Christ with all of your heart? You see, you can come to church and you can go through all the motions of religion. But do you really love him? Are you in love with him? Do people know that you're saved? Do you live for him each day? Sadly, as I travel around our wee province in Northern Ireland, a lot of people go to their church. A lot of people pay into their church. But when you ask them, are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Has there been a change in your life? It's hard to find people today who are truly born again of the Spirit of God. But the wee chorus puts it, since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And I remember then the next day after getting saved, going down to the Faith Mission bookshop down there in Queen Street to buy a Bible, as I didn't have one, and I started then walking the roads and praying and crying unto God to help me because I had nobody else. But I knew the Lord had done something in my heart. Remember then, I couldn't wait to go to the prayer meetings. I couldn't wait to go to the Bible studies. I couldn't wait to tell everybody about this man that had changed my life. Do you remember those days? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I couldn't wait to tell everybody what the Lord had done for me. I remember just going to my church on my own. Just wondering, how have I ever ended up here? But you know what the Lord did? He brought godly people into my life. He knew I didn't have anybody in my family. And many of them are in the glory tonight, but I remember those people. Godly people that encouraged me and helped me and inspired me. And from the time I got saved, God gave me a real burden to win souls. It's hard to explain. But Jesus says in Matthew 4:19, he says, "Follow me," he says, "and I will make you fishers of men." See, God makes his man. God makes his woman. God makes his young person. And I got such a burden to win souls, it's hard to explain. And I started then praying for my family and witnessing to them. And God in his grace then saved my mom and my dad and my sister and my two aunts. My entire family has been transformed by this message of the gospel. And he can change your family tonight. If you could take him home with you. If you take the Lord home with you tonight, he can do something in your family. And my mother, was brought up in a wee place called Sandy Row. You've all heard of the Sandy Row. I'll give you a tour of the Sandy Row sometime. And my mom went to the Free Presbyterian Sunday School, Alderman Duff Hall. I'm sure some of you know it. And she made a profession when she was 10 years of age, but she got away from the things of God. Started to enjoy all the pleasures of the world, pleasures of sin. But she saw the change in my life. And she started to come to church with me. And around 12 years ago, she gave her life to the Lord. And you know, folks, to see the change in her life is wonderful. The desire for cigarettes left within days. The desire for alcohol left within days. And now she's just on fire for the Lord down there in the Belfast City Hospital. And it's wonderful just to see the change in her life. And then the Lord saved my dad, and he's here tonight. Keep an eye on me. And I used to witness to him. My dad was just a man of the world. And maybe there's a man of the world in here tonight or listening online. He worked hard for his family. But out Friday night drinking, Saturday night drinking, hungover on a Sunday, and the whole thing started week after week. But I used to leave little gospel tracts about the house. And he read one tract about the second coming of the Lord. And the tract spoke about how, picture it in your mind, can you see it now? When the Lord returns, he says there's going to be two in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. There's going to be two grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. There's going to be two in a bed. One will be taken, one will be left. The saved and the lost. And after reading that gospel tract, again, my dad experienced conviction of sin. For 3 days, 3 nights, he couldn't eat. He couldn't sell. He couldn't do anything. And he was driving the car down the Ravenhill Road. And he pulled the car into Cherryville Plain Fields. And you know what he cried from his heart? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there and then, on the Ravenhill Road at Cherryville Plain Fields, the Lord wonderfully saved him. And folks, you want to see the change in him now? Wonderful how a man of the world has been completely transformed. Can I ask you a wee question tonight? You see, if the Lord came back this evening, would you rise to meet him in the air? You personally? Or would you be left behind? Want to be taken? Want to be left? The saved and the lost, the weak and the tarsh. My dad knew that he was going to be left behind. And surely as we look at our world and all that we've been through this past year, surely the Lord is speaking. Surely he's coming soon. And I wonder if he even came tonight. You see, it's just going to be another ordinary day. As it was in the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until they entered into the ark. And then the flood came, didn't it? And can you see them running to the ark and rapping the door? Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. But they left it far too late. And even if the master came this evening, I wonder would you rise? My dad knew he would be left behind. And there he sought the Lord. And it's wonderful now to see how the Lord is using my mother and my father in the Belfast City Hospital where they work. To be honest, they don't do much work because they're always witnessing for the Lord. But you see, this is what the Lord does. Have you experienced this? When you get truly saved, when you are converted, you want everybody to know. This is true salvation. And it's wonderful to see the change in their lives, and now they want to make up for lost time. Both of them saved at 50 years of age, and the Lord is restoring the years. What age are you tonight? You might see 70 years, you might see 80 years, you might see 90 years, but then we're all going to be in eternity if Jesus tarries. I met a man in Lisburn there a few weeks ago when I was up doing the mission, and he was 90 years of age and not saved. And his brother called me over and he says, give him your testimony, give him your testimony. His brother goes to Dunmurry Free Presbyterian Church. He says, my brother's not saved and he's 90. He said, sir, you're on the verge of eternity and you're still not saved. Breaks your heart, doesn't it? Breaks your heart. And even after gospel missions I've been doing there at the drive-ins, there's been people at those missions and I wrote this little booklet for the drive-in missions, Be in Time. If you want one, you can ask me for one at the door later. And there was one man away up in Drumahoe. He said to his wife, that wee man speaking to me today. And that was on the Sunday, and on the Tuesday he dropped dead, 57 years of age. There was another man got one of these booklets just recently. He dropped dead too. Be in time. And this is why we preach the gospel with all of our hearts, because we see this time and time and time again, especially after every gospel mission. There always seems to be sudden death in a community because God gives individuals time and space to repent. But he says, my spirit not always strive with man. And then my sister then got saved, and Michelle was going through a tough time in her life, and it's just wonderful to see the change in her life. And she's bringing up her wee family now in the ways of the Lord in a wee place called Port of Ogie, away down the Arch Peninsula. And it's just wonderful to see the change in her life. Can I encourage the Christian people here tonight? Keep praying for your family. God has 1,000 ways to answer every prayer. Keep praying for them. Never give up on them. Always be at the prayer meeting if you can. I know it's difficult with this virus, but even if you can get on the Zoom or the prayer meetings here in the church, always be at the place of prayer. I remember standing up just not long after getting saved, and you know what it's like when you're first saved and you're on, you get up to pray and you stutter and you say things. But I said, I remember praying, oh Lord, do what it takes to save my family. Do what it takes. And I remember then my two aunties. I took a little gospel mission in Finnegay. And my two aunties at 60 years of age, they both trusted the Lord around three years ago. And it's just wonderful to see what the Lord has done. And I give him all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. And as I say, after I got saved, God put a real burden in my heart to win souls. And I used to go down a lot to Dublin to share the gospel. And I used to love going to Dublin because you needed to be sharp, you see. It's not like Belfast or Lisburn or Newton Arch. When you go down there, you need to be sharp on the word. You need to study. And it's all different religions, all different viewpoints. And I used to love it. Going down and challenging myself and people asking you questions and people trying to contradict you. And what about this in the Bible? And what about the other thing in the Bible? And that was my training ground. That was my Bible school. That's where I loved going. Went there many, many times. Don't get down so much now. And I used to meet a lot of men in Dublin who'd been in Mountjoy Prison when I was on the streets down there. Anybody ever heard of Mountjoy Prison? Maybe I should have said anybody been in Mountjoy Prison. But I used to meet a lot of men that had been in Mountjoy Prison. And they always used to say this to me. They used to say, heaven is full of good people, there's no chance for me. And I would have told them, heaven is full of bad people who were made good before they got there. You see, there's only one good tonight. And that's our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I never forget, I think I mentioned it in the prayer meeting the other night. An old preacher took me aside when I was just saved. You know what he said? He says, John, listen, when God sees the sacrifice, then he will send the fire. Isn't that good? If God can get the whole of a man, if God can get the whole of a woman that is sold out, he can use that man or woman. Not half-hearted in their service, but sold out. I see lovely young men here tonight, and lovely young women, and maybe the call of God is on your life. You go and serve the Lord with all of your heart. Don't be like a lot of people I get calls to see in their deathbeds and they say, I've wasted my life. I should have done this for the Lord. I should have done the other thing for the Lord and I've wasted my life. God's call is on your life tonight, friend. You go and serve the Lord. And I was working in a secondary school and there was a lady dying in the hospital and I couldn't get to see her. And there was another servant of God who I was able to get to go and speak to her and point her to the Lord. And I said, Lord, that'll never happen again. If there's a lady dying in the hospital, I'll be there. And 7 years ago, I gave up my job. Do you know what I said? I said, Lord, use me to reach this land with the gospel. Wherever you want me to go, to win souls, after all you have done for me and my family, I will go. And 7 years ago, I gave up my job and just traveled the country now preaching the gospel with one ambition, one drive, to see men, women, and young people saved. That's all I live for. That's all I think about. Who can I win to the Lord today? Because look at what he has done for me. I always say to some different people, and even somebody said to me the day in the street, an awful waste, your football career was an awful waste. I says, I have the greatest job in the world now. Henry Clay Morrison said, don't stoop to be prime minister if God has called you to preach the gospel. It's the greatest privilege in life to share this message. And I want to be sold out for the Lord. Is that the desire of your heart? You see, we're all going to stand before him on that great day. You see, when I stand before him, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have any regrets. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joy of the Lord. Wouldn't it be awful sad if he said to someone here tonight, depart from me, I never knew you. And even dear Christian friend, you've been given a gift. You can do something for the Lord. Are you using that gift tonight? Fanny Crosby, what a hymn writer. She was blind. She wrote 8,000 hymns. D.L. Moody worked in a shoe store. Amy Carmichael suffered from a disease of her nervous system. Gladys Aylward was a housemaid and rejected by the missionary societies. But they let the Lord use them. And I'm hungry for God. Are you? I want the Lord to move in our province. I'm fed up with the ordinary meetings. Are you? Some of the missions there last year saw a wee touch of the Lord moving in the community. A wee touch of it. But I want the Lord to visit this nation. The gospel is the only hope for our province. I want the Lord to use me. And I know a lot of young men who had a better upbringing than me. But you see, they're in the comfort zone. I don't want to be in the comfort zone. Do you? I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be led astray. I want to lay everything on the altar for the Lord. Because he gave everything for me. And as I stand here tonight, I just thank him so much for saving my soul. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, once said this, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Isn't that good? The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. And Alan Redpath once said this, when God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible man and he crushes him. This is the type of men and women that God is looking for. Somebody that is totally yielded and totally committed. I trust that's you. And I trust that's me. God delights in using the foolish things of this world. The Bible says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So we will finish with our text. The time has flew. There's 9 o'clock. Thank you for your wonderful attention. If any man, that includes you. If any man, notice, be in Christ, you're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And maybe as you sit here tonight, you would love to be saved. Maybe you've been thinking about it over this past year. Maybe God's Spirit has been dealing with you and striving with you. Or maybe I'm speaking to people tonight and you're backslidden. Met a man outside the church, didn't we, earlier? And we had a good chat with him and he could be listening online. I hope he is. And he said he was a backslider. I said, sir, we'll be praying for you. The prodigal son had to come to himself, didn't he? But you see, listen, God sent the famine to get his attention. And men and women, sometimes God sends things into our lives to get our attention. And even going back to my mother, do you know what it was that really spoke to her? The death of her mother and her sister in the space of a year. And as she saw that coffin going down into the ground, she thought, if that was me, where am I going? She knew she wasn't ready for eternity. Have you ever been to a funeral lately? Or have you ever been to a funeral and you see the coffin going down into the ground? And you start to think, that was me, where am I going? C.H. Spurgeon said, 6 feet of dirt makes all men equal. That's the truth. The only thing that really matters is you've got a testimony of God's saving grace. And the Lord is among us tonight. Old Wesley Penn, that he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And his blood availed for me. Do you realize tonight, and I really think about this, you can leave this church with all your sins forgiven. And you know your sin as I know mine. You can leave this church with a Savior in your heart, and you can leave with a new song on your lips. I used to sing the old songs of the world, the old football songs. I'm sure many of you did at one time. But he has put a new song in our mouths tonight. Isn't he wonderful? He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And he can do this for you. It's not what Stuart Hamlin penned. It is no secret. What God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. What do you have to do to get saved? You listening now? Very simply, you've got to recognize that you're a sinner. If you recognize that you're a sinner tonight, you can be saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, you've got to receive Christ. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And then thirdly, you've got to repent. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. Fourthly, you've got to remember the blood. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then fifthly, you've got to rejoice. Got to rejoice. The Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And maybe tonight these meetings, over these few nights, have just been arranged for you. Or maybe somebody listening online. They've all been arranged just for you. This is your time. You put it off too long. And this is your time to seek the Lord while he may be found. And call upon him while he is near. The wee chorus that sums up my testimony. And as I will serve thee, because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Listen, heartaches and broken pieces and ruined lives is why you died on Calvary. Your touch, hallelujah. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. To have the presence of the living God inside you is wonderful. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Ghost, John 7:38. It's wonderful to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're saying tonight, I would love this salvation, but I'll not be able to keep it. Friend, look at me. You'll never be able to keep it of your own strength. Never. But when you call upon the name of the Lord, a miracle happens. The Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside you. How does it happen? I don't know. But as the wind bloweth, thou canst hear the sound thereof. Whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every man that is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. The Lord gives you new desires. Gives you a new heart. Gives you a new tongue. It's wonderful. You can have it tonight if you want it. Sense the quietness here. God is among us. Every eye is on me. I believe there's people here and you know you need to be saved. You've been brought up in the church. You've had a different upbringing to me. You've been brought up in the church. You've been brought up in youth meetings. You've been brought up through the Sunday school. But tonight you're not living for the Lord. From tonight, start to serve him with all of your heart. From tonight, start to love him. Spend time with him every day. Get up early in the morning. Seek his face. Start your day with the Lord. Spend time in prayer. Spend time reading his word. Do you make time every day to read the word of God? Or are you busy? Too busy? See, that's what's wrong with some of us. We're too busy doing other things that don't really matter. I'll finish with this. There's 9:05. Heard a powerful story of an old preacher. He visited the Titanic Museum in America. And he said you went around all the displays and you saw all the boards in the Titanic Museum. He says, but you see, when you came to the end of the Titanic Museum, he said there was a huge board up in the wall of all the passengers that set sail in the Titanic, over 2,000. And he said they were just simply divided into two columns, all those passengers. You know what the two columns were? The saved and the lost. That was it. Saved, lost. Now, as we finish, let's picture all our names up on that screen right now in the two columns. Saved, lost. And the men were to display all our names on that screen right now. Which column is your name in? Can you see it? Saved or lost? That's all that's in this church tonight. Saved and lost. And maybe right now, if you see your name in that lost column, and you know it, you're not saved, I pray from tonight you'll transfer over. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or maybe we get out a third column. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here listening online and you really don't know if you're saved or not. Even up in that gallery, maybe there's somebody and you don't know. Friend, make tonight your night. When you get right with the Lord. I can point back to that night as I walked into the church and heard the gospel. I got saved. That's wonderful to have this assurance that you can put your head in the pillow and know it is well with your soul. And if you're not sure, stay behind tonight. Speak to myself. Speak to the minister. Ask for a little booklet at the gate or at the door. Give me a ring. We'll even come to your house after the meeting. We'll do all that we can that you know that you're saved. That's the only thing that matters. Hard to close. God is speaking. And I believe there's somebody here, and this is going to be your night. Don't believe the devil's lies any longer. Telling you you'll not be able to keep it, telling you you've plenty of time. Trust the Lord this very night.